Contegra is construction with integrity. We mean it, believe in it, and manifest it in all we do. Without structural integrity, a building won't endure. Without personal integrity, a client relationship won't grow. We develop and complete projects safely, on time, and within budget. We don't shy away from an aggressive timeline, nor from a project or vision that's years in the making. Contegra, construction with integrity.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Build America, the national podcast that's capturing and sharing the very heartbeat of construction and construction industry issues. I'm your host, Carrie Smith, owner of Construction News and Review Magazine. And it's a really pressing, serious construction industry issue that we're talking about today. We have the pleasure of welcoming Mark Dalton, Assistant Political Director for the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. And Mark's going to brief us today on a pretty scary, way more prevalent than I realized, issue that's gripping construction companies, their clients, and the general taxpaying public. And that topic is tax fraud. And Mark Dalton, welcome and thank you for your time and for sharing your insight today on this.
Thanks for having me on and look forward to helping you and all the listeners understand the issues that we're facing every day.
Oh, that would be great. And I know, Mark, that says here in your bio, you've worked at as a union carpenter for 27 years, and then you joined the Carpenters Political Department 10 years ago in 2014 as a member of a team that oversees the Carpenters Legislative Affairs, Policy, and Research. And it sounds like the tax fraud issue doesn't, unfortunately, seem to be going away, and that must be smack dab in the middle of a lot of the advocacy stuff you do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not going anywhere. It seems to be getting worse. And the more people get away with it, the more people are going to do it and it's going to expand. So we're trying to crack down on it and get some other people to help us in that effort.
That's great. Mark, explain for us really the concept of tax fraud as it relates to the operations of construction companies, just so we understand what it is. I know in the reading I did, I also saw a term called wage theft. And I wondered if that's related to that or the same thing. But if you could lay it out for us, what is the issue?
The two really go hand in hand. Workers are not being paid proper wages that they should be, that they're owed for the work they're doing. And the fraud is going on when contractors or subcontractors will hire workers, oftentimes through the use of a labor broker, but they will pay them cash or off the books. And then that's where a lot of the tax fraud goes on when those workers are not covered. They don't have a work comp. There's no Social Security, local tax, state tax, federal taxes taken off of the paychecks. And when cash is handed out, there's nothing taken off. That's where the tax fraud comes in. Wage theft, oftentimes these workers they're worked long hours, weekends, there's no overtime pay. And that's where the wage theft is coming alongside of it. So they really go hand in hand.
I'm sure this is certainly not all contractors, but it sounds maybe contractors with less than stellar business practices if they're paying workers in cash. And I don't know if there are other characteristics that go with companies that are doing this and what the penalties must be if they're convicted.
Yeah, oftentimes on these projects, a lot of times it'll be out of area, out of state contractors that come in and they do it across the country. And there are a lot of times OSHA violations that we see that go hand in hand with this practice. When you're bringing in a workforce that is unskilled, untrained on the OSHA requirements, you're going to see a lot of violations there. So we unfortunately see it a lot of times with contractors that travel the country doing this, come into an area, do it, and then leave, and just undercutting our legitimate contractors that are based in the area and running a legitimate business.
I would think that if they're undercutting, not only are they're not paying workers, but are they, if it's like a hard bid job or just are they undercutting on what they're charging to do the work too? And I wonder where they're all making shortcuts.
Oftentimes when we see, you'll see, say you have five contractors that have been on a project and four of them that are local companies and you've heard their name before, they're reputable companies and their quotes will be all in a very small ballpark of the same price. And then you get another contractor that is just hundreds of thousands less on the project. It's a red flag. Oh. When the bid comes in and it's way less. They're able to save about 30% right off the top by not paying Social Security, unemployment, workers' compensation on the workers, stuff like that. So it's a direct blow to the legitimate contractors.
For sure. I would think it sounds like from this is what I was really surprised at until I understood what we're talking about, that not only it's not only the workers that are getting hurt, it's with all this infrastructure work, for example, it's people whose tax money goes into the work that's being done.
Correct. Yeah. It's not just the companies that are local. It's not just the workers. It's the cities, the schools. When you don't have the tax revenue coming out, the schools, the police departments, fire departments. So it's safety, public education that affects everyone in the community, not just the construction workers or the construction companies.
Has it been going on for a really long time, Mark? Or when did you guys really, as a union, key into that this was happening? Or has it been going on a long time and you're just trying to increase efforts to crack down and get rid of it?
It's been going on for a long time. We have started over a decade ago trying to crack down on this. And we have a huge public awareness campaign. We usually do around tax return day or tax filing day. So we call it our tax fraud days of action. So we try to raise public awareness. We go to public bodies, we go to elected officials and try to alert them to the problems. And we do that every day of the year, try to alert them, but we really do a focused effort nationwide around April 10th to 15th in that range to try to just bring the awareness to the public of how prevalent the problem is and how much it affects everyone.
Are there instances of tax fraud that occurred, and certainly no specifics are necessary, but anywhere where you've seen them successfully prosecuted or these companies brought to task for that?
We're seeing it in some other states. We've had a tough time in Missouri getting different public bodies and elected officials to take action. We just saw some of our fellow carpenters in Minnesota. There's a company that's now being sued for over $2 million in unpaid wages. And they're finding out that the company was telling the workers to lie to the investigators that were looking into it. We see cases coming from around the country. We have had a lack of enforcement in Missouri. We're trying to do more. We're working with the Attorney General's office. I just sat down with the Attorney General 2 weeks ago, got them a list of projects from all the way from St. Louis to Kansas City and north and south. A couple of dozen projects that we have across the state right now that are ongoing, where we know workers are getting paid cash under the table and undermining the local economy.
Wow, that seems crazy to me on a risk level of, like you said, these aren't our reputable companies, certainly that are here and based here. But even if you're a fly by night, that seems like there would be so many ways that you would be found out, not to mention OSHA workers themselves. And what a position that puts the workers in. That must be terribly stressful when they're already doing a really stressful job.
The workers oftentimes they're exploited. They're just trying to earn a good wage. Oftentimes we see some of these people when they're getting paid cash, they prey on, there's a lot of immigrant workers that are doing this. These subcontractors will find a labor broker, which is often basically a coyote, people that they will find people coming to the country and they'll promise them a good job in America where they're making good wages, but then come to find out after they get here, they put them in a hotel or an apartment and they will pack them in there. Oftentimes having a dozen people staying in a one-bedroom apartment. And then when they go to get paid, they deduct their housing fee. They will give them a van to drive to and from work, and they will deduct for transportation. So oftentimes that coyote, that labor broker, will be taking a large chunk of what the people think they're making. The immigrant community is one that's often preyed upon. They don't know our laws. They don't know our rules a whole lot. There's a language barrier. Oftentimes, sometimes they'll be strung along and then never paid at all. And then when you've got someone who's coming to the country and they're in fear for getting deported, so who are they going to go to? They think if they go to the police, they can't trust them or it's just going to get them in trouble. Yeah, so oftentimes if they're injured on the job site, they will just take them and drop them off at a hospital if they're lucky and hopefully get treatment there, but they're just ditched, never paid. And it's a horrible system and we need people to pay more attention to it and help fix the problem.
If you have any statistics to give us an idea of, or maybe a percentage of all the construction work that goes on in our country and maybe what this looks like.
Yes, we've got a website the UBC does that keeps track of a lot of the numbers, and that is stoptaxfraud.net. And on there, we've got a running tracker. If you look in, the study showed that about $500 million in Missouri and Kansas of lost tax revenue on these projects. And I believe it's around $19 billion across the U.S. So it is a huge problem. And there's a lot of public services that could be taken care of with that tax revenue if it were collected.
No doubt. And as we know, with the Infrastructure Jobs Act money that's finally making its way to projects, that could mean the difference between a bridge or a highway bridge or a tunnel or some really dire needed improvement being made or not being made.
Absolutely, it could.
What can we do? I guess we could maybe have you talk about the different we's in that question, but what are maybe contractors doing, members who support the Carpenters Union, just Associate General Contractor members and others? What are they doing? What could we be doing as the media and as the general public to just help bring awareness to this?
Like I said, we are working with the State Attorney General and the office there to try to bring awareness. We've got a list of contractors and general contractors that we know abuse this system. We're sending that info there. We have business representatives across the state. And as our job, when we see projects going on, we stop and we talk to the workers and we try to make sure everything is legitimate. That's part of what we do. If we see some red flags, we try to do some investigating on that. We take that information to the State Department of Labor, State Attorney General's office. What we can help from the public would just be on anybody that's willing to talk to their local city, county councilman, mayor, just help them to understand that this is an issue. Local bodies like that, any projects that are pulling job permits and building permits, they can be aware that, hey, this is an issue. And if anyone sees anything that they suspect something like this is going on, you can always alert your local officials and have them look into it. Just the more eyes we can put out there on the street to look into all of these shady contractors, the better.
You mentioned the Attorney General, and is it more, I'm sure it's complex to talk about here, but is the enforcement more on a state by state level where the project's located, or does OSHA have any powers or any other federal, I don't know, Department of Labor, anyone to help in the fight, or is it more state by state?
It's more state by state. We were told in the beginning we should contact the IRS to deal with it. So when we're trying to reach out to the federal IRS on stuff like this, it does get to be a bit cumbersome. But so we're trying to deal with it on a state level. We're trying to help get the Attorney General all the information that his office needs to look into these projects. We do need the State Department of Labor to do more. We've hit some roadblocks there and the lack of investigation on their part. We just need some of the state elected officials to do more.
Right. And Mark, when you mentioned that if you visit a job site and you look for red flags, obviously, I guess seeing them literally handing out cash and paying workers but would be one. But what are other potential red flags that you tend to see that make you wonder if that's not on the up and up?
One of the first things that we do when you walk onto a job site, if you see a lot of vehicles with out-of-state plates, then that workforce is not a local workforce. So that's traditionally a red flag of a transient worker that's just coming in and going where the jobs are. So we look at that. If you see van loads of people pulling up and piling out onto a job, oftentimes when they're getting paid cash, sometimes you see them getting paid cash. Sometimes the workers will meet their labor broker at a check cashing store where they will give him a check to cash and they'll cash it and give him a portion of the cash back. Those are some red flags to look for.
Wow. It's got to be such a huge issue. I can only imagine how much time you all devote to it, not just this time of year, but year round. Do you have a whole kind of a team or Mark Dalton counterpart in other states that you work in tandem with?
Absolutely. We have political teams and tax fraud, wage theft teams across the country. We often get together and try to share some good practices, good ideas, what's working, what's not working. But a lot of times, yeah, just getting the public to talk to their local elected officials about this is a problem and stress the importance of using a local contractors, local subcontractors on projects that are done in the area. It helps cut down on the problem.
In this episode, we are talking with Mark Dalton, Assistant Political Director for the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. And Mark, tell us again, that covers a huge territory. Help people understand how many members and how many states now that you cover.
Yeah, so right now we are about 3.5 states. We are Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, part of Iowa. We have over 53,000 members that we represent, and it's a growing footprint.
That's wonderful. I could ask you questions about this all day, but I think I'll repeat the website. It was stoptaxfraud.net.
That's correct. And there's a lot of information that we've gone over and a lot more resources and information on that site that could be helpful.
I look forward to having you back on this topic maybe next year and seeing how many more crackdowns there have been and how many more workers are treated as they should for the tremendous jobs they do. But thank you so much for joining us today, Mark. We appreciate it. We hope you come back.
No, absolutely. And hopefully when next time we talk, we've got some results and some action.
That sounds great. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Company, we're the design-build people. 90% of our work is design-build, the delivery method that keeps everyone under the same roof. Single-source responsibility means you work with a skilled team that brings innovative solutions and added value to every phase of the job. To learn more, go to cortico.com. That's K-O-R-T-E-C-O.com.